hope you have your Bibles. If not, it's up above, but it's always good to have your scripture with you, isn't it? Yeah. Everybody have enemies? We feel like we do, don't we? But there is only one real enemy. Let me read you in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting with the 10th verse. Good morning to those who are visiting. My name is Lance Canals. I'm the pastor here at Brookings Harbor. Mike Lancaster is our pastor at Celebrate Recovery. We love you. We hope that you feel friendship and fellowship here. Let me read to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Wow. Satan is the real enemy. The real enemy is him. Lucifer, Beelzebub, whatever we want to call him. The devil. And I know that I've been wanting to speak about this for a while, and I think Satan's been trying to keep me from physically getting here to do that sometimes. He doesn't want us to tell other people about him, that he's real. Two boys were walking home from Sunday school one Sunday morning. How many little kids we got? Okay. They didn't stay for church. Shame on them. Their Sunday school lesson had been on the subject of the devil. The boys said to one another, "What do you think about the devil's business?" Well, the other boy replied, you know the tooth fairy, how it turned out, the devil must be either mom or dad. My friends, I don't believe that anybody's mom or dad is the devil. Although I admit there are times that mom and dads act like the devil occasionally, and shame on them. Today I want us to realize who the real enemy is, and I want us to realize who we're really up against. We've been talking about this, getting up close to this. Who do we have our trust in? Who is the victor? Who is the one who defends us from all enemies? Our God, Christ the Lord. On the way home from church, a couple were discussing the preacher's sermon. The wife said, "It seems to me he didn't put enough fire into his sermon." The husband said, "Well, in my opinion, he didn't put enough of his sermon into the fire." That's possible. Hello. Church, for many, many years, I've heard about all kinds of preacher problems in churches. The preacher didn't do that, or the preacher didn't do this, or the preacher got into a fight with the board, or the elders, or a woman in the church, young people, or the youth director, and so on and so on. Yikes. It takes more business, it takes more time to do that than to do what you're supposed to be doing. I know of some preachers who are liars, greedy, cheats, lustful, boast, thieves, uncontrolled, controllers, and a few other things. I could tell you some stories that might be hard to believe. And then again, you might not. But contrary to what some church members might think, the preacher is not the real enemy. He may play into the enemy's hands. Occasionally, he is not the real enemy. There was this preacher and an older gentleman in the church who always called the preacher Bub. And that kind of worried the preacher a little bit because he didn't think he knew what he was saying. So one day he just told him, "Hey, I'm not Beelzebub," meaning the devil. "I just want you to know that." And the old brother never meant anything by calling him Bub. But the preacher was sure he wanted him to know that he was not the devil, nor was he in league with him. Now, men and women, boys and girls, there are times in our lives when we think some people are the devil. It may be some leader, Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, other criminals like Charlie Manson, or some TV personalities who look sweet and sister, like a sister or a brother or grandma, but who are preaching or practicing spiritualism, which according to Scripture does not have anything to do with our lives. It has something to do with Satan. But the devil is none of these people, nor is he your mate, nor your boss, nor the person who irritates the daylights out of you at work, nor the strange person who lives down at the end of the street, even though they seem pretty creepy. Satan is none of these people. Satan is Satan, and he is our real enemy in life. People are not our enemies. But make no mistake about it. We have an enemy, and we have an opponent in life, and he is called Satan. Back in the 1960s, a man submitted a manuscript to a well-known publisher. It was rejected, however, with the explanation that the subject was dead issue and no one believed in that sort of thing anymore. Guess what the book's title was? The Dark Prince. It presented the spiritual being called Satan. No such thing. There was a spiritualist one time that she promoted a lot of her books and her psychic ability, and she said it all was from God. Until one day she said that Satan, there was no such thing as Satan. Well, we knew right off the bat who her God was then. It was Satan. Is Satan a dead issue? No. Do people not believe in him anymore? Sometimes the devil's cleverest trick is to make people believe that he does not exist. Bible teacher William Evans wrote, "It is popular in some circles today to spell the word devil with the letter D left off of it. This reduces the idea of an actual person called the devil, to a mere influence called evil." But it's not just that, is it? Someone else said the devil may be out of fashion for some, but he's not out of business. Is there a real person called the Satan or the devil? Yes, there is. I believe it is, and God said there is. American preacher Billy Sunday, and this was way back in the late 1800s, he lived until 1935, he said, "I know that the devil is real for two reasons. Number one, the Bible says so, and number two, because I've done business with him." We know that the devil is real because the Bible says so, and we believe the Bible is the what? Word of God. Amen. In Job, the first chapter, verse 6, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you been coming from?' And Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.'" Getting ready to talk about Job. Friends, the angels came and presented themselves to the Lord. Why? Probably because they were accountable to God. And Satan also is accountable to the Lord. Does this not tell you something about Satan? Surely it says that Satan must also give account of himself to God. And someday Satan is going to give account of himself in a big way, and he's not going to like the end results, even though he already knows it. Because when it comes time to be thrown into the lake of fire, well, he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Not just for that afternoon, but forever. In Revelation 20:10, it says, "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Hell is a real thing, and it is forever and ever. You can see me, I get a little tense when I'm talking about this, because it's true. And I want you to know that. God conversed with Satan, and so did Jesus. Remember in Matthew 4, 3 and 3-7? Let me read to you. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and nights, Scripture says, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy place and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him," I think Jesus slacked him a couple of times. "Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Satan said, 'Command these stones to become loaves.' And Jesus answered him, and he rebuked him." That's what we need to do. Personally, I don't think Jesus was talking to himself or some figment of his imagination. He was talking to a real, living, spiritual being. And Satan is a real being. He's a real spiritual being. He has an intellect and power and influence. And if God says he's real, then we ought to believe that. True? Billy Sunday said, "I know the devil is real because what? I've done business with him." And it probably wasn't in a funny way. As much as we might want to admit it, we're all doing business with the devil in some form or another, aren't we? Of course, there are those who believe that only big sinners have done business with the devil. People have who steal and they murder and they rape, etc. Only those guys. Only they're influenced by the devil. My friends, don't you dare believe that you haven't done business with the devil. We all have done it in a way or another, one way or another. In Ephesians 2, 1 and through, it says, as for you, you were dead. That's past tense. You were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You want to know who is working those who are disobedient? Satan. One time before you gave your lives to Christ, we followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And just who do you think that is? Satan. Big or little, we all follow Satan in the path of sin. I know some of you are thinking back and you're listening and you're understanding the weight of sin which was in your life. You've listened to Satan and you followed him. There's times that he still tries to trick us. I could tell you terrible stories, one after another, of horrible tales of brutal acts of greed and cruelty that humans have done to one another. Would you believe the devil then? Would you believe there is a Satan then? Well, because of his influence upon their lives and the horror stories, they go on and on every day in this world. We know the devil is real and is our enemy in life. And here's a couple things. His origin. Did you know that the stars are falling? They are falling all the time. In Hollywood alone, the stars are falling all the time. Popular movie stars are falling out of life in the favor of their fans because of failed marriages, criminal acts, drug addiction, and other addictions. The stars are falling, and when a person is sold on themselves, that's called pride, they will fall. What comes for a fall? Pride. Who knows? Perhaps many actors and musicians thought nothing could happen to them. We're just playing a game. In fact, I bet so many didn't believe in the devil and some are doing business with him. Now, there's another star who fell long ago and his name is Satan. He was formerly called Lucifer or the shining star, a beautiful angel. In 2 Peter 2, for if God did not spare the angels when they sin, now let's stop right there. Angels can sin? Apparently so. Because they did then. A third of the heavenly host was kicked out of heaven. Many Bible scholars believe that Satan was a beautiful angel who sinned against God, got kicked out of heaven. Satan is a fallen star. About 6 months ago, at the Commonwealth Games in UK, the opening part of that game was falling stars out of the sky. It was a video that was shown, and a person ran up to one of the falling stars and picked it up and worshipped it. In Isaiah 14, 12, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who were once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly and on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Whoa. But you are brought down to the graves, to the depths of the pit. Isaiah introduced us to a supernatural person who was cast down to earth. And he's called the morning star. He was a star in God's eyes. He is called Lucifer in the New King James Version. Apparently, he was so beautiful that he had a shining appearance. How sad. And sometimes people in the world see him with a shiny appearance. A beautiful being. Then he tries to make us think he's some guy in a red suit or dressed up with red and horns and a tail. And that's not Satan. Five times he said in his heart, I will. His heart was filled with rebellion against God. He did not want God to be over him or to rule over him. Do you know people like that today? They don't want God ruling over. They don't want to have any accountability to God. Essentially, he was saying, since I am so magnificent, so beautiful, so filled with power, why shouldn't I have some of that worshiping going on in the universe for myself? He was saying, moreover, to God, here I am. He wanted to be God. And so do we at times, controlling our own life. Someone said that the shortest definition of sin is, I will. That's exactly what Satan said. Now, anytime we want to do our thing and live our own lives, we have sin, and we are headed for really big trouble. In Ezekiel 28, first it talks about a king. The word of the Lord said to me, Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is the sovereign Lord says. He says what this Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am God. I sit on the throne of God, little g, in the heart of the seas. But you are mere mortals and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. You're just not that. You're not. In the next verse, a few verses go by, but in verse 12, the king in Tyre is introduced to who is the real power behind the rulers of Tyre. In Ezekiel 28:12, it says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Who is he talking about? Whoa. In verse 28, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. What wickedness is God talking about? It was this, I will. I will be like God. I will disobey him. Satan, the star, the shining one, the beautiful one, spinned his heart against God. He sinned against God, and apparently God cast him out of heaven. So where does Satan come from? Where is he coming from? Is he a fallen star? He was lost his star status. He's nothing but a bum now. He's a beggar in a wilderness. So what is Satan's business now? What's the Satan up to? What's the devil up to? What is this business now since he is no longer in heaven and serving our Lord? Brethren, what is Satan's business? His business is to give us the business. His business is to get us on his side. Satan's business is to trick us, to deceive us, to lure us away from Christ and the church, to make us hypocrites, to cause us to fall in sin any way he can. 2 Corinthians 4, it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, that is, who are outside of Christ. The God of this world, little g, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the length of the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. The world is blinded. Those who do not know Christ are blinded. Satan is an artist. Well, he's a con artist. He blinds the minds of people who do not believe in Jesus as the Christ with anything and everything he can. He blinds people's moralism, heathenism. There's another, healthinism. There's also one that you might even think of, thinkinism. I made that one up. Think what you are. Think what God is. Many children or young people who have been raised in the church too often put off fully giving their lives to Christ until later in their lives. And why is that? Because I think it's because Satan blinds their minds with various things in the world and all the desires of the world. Brethren, friends, church, the devil will use anything and everything to get people from believing the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need to wake up to this truth. The devil doesn't just work on unbelievers. He works on believers also. 1 Thessalonians 3 says, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. The church can be tempted. You can be tempted. You know that. 2 Corinthians 11 says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Don't let it happen. The devil is out to tempt you and deceive you any way that he can. Listen to this interesting story. about temptation. In the days of the Civil War, it was illegal to trade in cotton. You couldn't sell it, buy it, or anything. But many unscrupulous people tried to buy cotton in the South, run it through the Union lines, and sell it for great profit in the North. One of these guys approached the Mississippi steamboat captain and offered him $100, which is quite a bit, if he would run his cotton up the river for him. And the captain declined, reminding him that it was illegal. Then the cotton runner said, "I'll give you $500. "No," answered the captain, "I won't do it." The cotton runner made another offer, "I'll give you $1,000. "No," answered the captain once again. The cotton runner continued and said, "I'll give you $3,000. At that point, the captain drew out his pistol, pointed it at the man, and said, "Get off this boat. You're coming too near to my price." That's us. It can be. "I'll make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Just bow down to me. I'd rather be sick and poor and dumbfounded and just follow Jesus. What's your price when it comes to turning away from Christ, from denying Christ? For Judas Iscariot, it was money. So what is your price? Got to have that money, got to make it. What's your price when it comes to denying Christ? Money, sex, lust, pleasure, having fun, laziness, fame, popularity, a wonderful, beautiful, healthy life? You got a price, and the devil probably knows it. You better beware. 1 Peter 5, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know when a hunter takes his hunting dogs out to fetch birds for him? You know which birds a well-trained dog will go after first? You probably don't. The ones that fall dead are the ones that are wounded a little and are trying to get away. It's the wounded ones, of course. The dead ones, we can get those anytime we want to. We can pick them up whenever. And it's so with Satan. He already has those who are not Christians, the dead ones. So he sets his dogs after those who are Christians to try and get them any way he can. The devil is after you and me. This is one thing we can be sure of, and he'll use every plan, every dirty trick to deceive and to try to damn us. Be alert. Don't be ignorant of the power of the devil. I know I seem like I'm saying it a lot, but I want you to hear it. I don't want you ever to say, "Oh, I didn't know." I want you to know. So what's the end game for the devil? What's going to happen to him in the end times? And this is kind of a weird little illustration, but what power do we live by? Should we live by? So here, in an army staff, they were planning war games, but not what to. They didn't want to use live ammunition. I guess their budget was cut. Instead, they informed the men, "In place of a rifle, you go bang, bang. In place of a knife, you go stab, stab. In place of a hand grenade, you go lob, lob." The game was in progress. When one of the soldiers saw one of the enemy, he went up and he goes, "Bang, bang." Nothing happened. He goes, "Stab, stab." Nothing happened. He went back and he goes, "Lob, lob." Nothing happened. Finally, he walked up to the enemy and said, "Hey, you're not playing fair. I went bang, bang, stab, stab, and lob, lob, and you haven't fallen down yet." And the enemy replied, "Rumble, rumble. I'm a tank." Having said that, it's obvious a rifle, a knife, and a hand grenade are no match for a tank. And listen, neither are we a match for the enemy with our own artillery. Our own personal weapons are not big enough to fight against Satan and win. In Ephesians 6, which I read at the beginning, I want to read again. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." We're at war with the powerful and spiritual and evil being called Satan. And we are not going to win this war using our own weapons and ingenuity. It just won't work. We talked about Joshua. I've been talking with my study group and my kids about Gideon. And who did they depend on? God alone. And he made it so that they could perfectly see it was God who won the victory. In 1 John 3, the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason for the Son of God appears was to what? Destroy devil's work. And what? And he did. Amen? Amen. When did that happen? When did Jesus destroy the devil's work? At the cross. Jesus slapped down the enemy when he went to Calvary. The cross was not a matter of defeat, but a matter of victory. When Jesus died on the cross, he put down Satan, destroyed his work, sealed his doom, paved the way for us to go to heaven. It's there. It's for us. It's ready. The devil is on his way out. He's been served his papers. He's heading for the deep dark beyond. But he's going to try to take as many people with him as he can. I guess you could say misery loves company, but he hates God and he hates us. And he wants to destroy his creation, God's creation, even from the beginning. Who God loved, he hates. Jesus won the war, but we still have to fight the battles. We do not do this and do it successfully. And how do we do this and do it successfully? Arm yourselves with the Word of God. God's Word, the Bible. He gave it to us for a specific reason. Not only to know him, but to defend ourselves against Satan, God's word. Aim yourselves with the word of God and arm yourselves with the word of God. The word of God is your powerful, most powerful weapon against Satan. Jesus said to Satan in Matthew 4 then, he tempted him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And after Jesus quoted scripture, several times it says to the devil left him. Now, interesting, the devil quoted scripture too, didn't he? The devil doesn't work quoting scripture. Only God and we do. That ought to tell us something. If you don't fortify your mind and your life with the powerful word of God through study, you're going to have a tough time winning the battles against Satan. Ain't going to be easy. Can't be done. You need to be studying God's scriptures in church and out and staying in the word. Your weapon against Satan is the word. And if you want to put Satan in his place and knock him on his behind, you need to study, memorize, and know something of the Word of God. Something. And it doesn't mean just because you quote it that it doesn't. You have to what? Believe it. That means. I'm going to fix it right now because I want to finish. But you got to know what the Word of God says and know it and believe it to use it as a weapon against the evil one. Bob Williams, he was a veteran of New York. He fought with the 4th Infantry Division in World War II, and he was a part of the invasion forces where over 6,000 Americans were killed, Normandy. He said that memories of the war still haunt him. He said, how would you like to go to bed at night and dream about the war every night? I see dead bodies. I see all those guns going off and everything. He said, I fight the war every night. Church, my friends, there is another war going on every day and every night. And it too is killing people by the thousands. Satan is worse than all the tyrants of history. He's a bloodthirsty soul, thirsty liar and murderer. And he'll do every diabolical thing, damnable thing, so that he can destroy people's lives and their souls. As much as we don't like it, we must fight the war every day and every night. Some of us just, you know, one day say, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. But if you're really a lover of God, you will be a fighter for him and God's army. If you intend to experience victory over the enemy, the real enemy is not people. Quit fighting people, guys. That's why the Beatitudes, and that's why Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your soul and mind and strength and soul, and love your neighbor. Didn't say anything about loving the devil or evil, did he? Of all the things it says to hate in Scripture, it says hate evil. Wow. It's not people, it's Satan. And the true victory is in Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say this to bring you down this morning. I said this to bring you up. Even when you're sick or you know something's behind the other door, or you know if you know what it is, it gives you an awareness and a greater stability of fighting and an up feeling. I can do this. God can do it through me. Without him, I'm nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Bless us. Give us strength. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word and all that you give us. Protect us this day, Father, in all that we do and where we go. Bring us home safely. Bring us back together so that we might be a unit of your church together. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.